Okay, finishing up with the melacha of kaitzer, of reaping, and going on to the next melacha. Okay, basically we learned that you're not allowed to cut anything from the place it was grown from. Therefore, the chum forbade certain things. You can't lean on a tree. You can't go out, climb on a tree. You can't put a ladder against the tree and go up on it. But if there's something knocked into the tree and there's something hanging on that thing which is connected to the tree, like we said, a hammock, then you could. Same thing. Reaping and harvesting are the same thing. We learned that the other day. You can't. Well, if you can get there somehow without climbing up the tree, you can, because the ladder is going to be held by the tree. Therefore, you can. What?
How about if the ladder is on a treehouse?
But the treehouse is part of the tree.
The treehouse is on the tree, but the ladder is on the treehouse.
Can't. Okay. Next. We were learning like this. You can smell things that grow on a bush if they're not edible, because then we're not afraid you're going to pluck it off, you're going to tear it off. But fruit that's edible, you're not allowed to smell while it's on the tree, because we're afraid you're going to pull it off. Also, we learned you can't ride an animal. Okay, next thing is like this. Fruit that falls from a tree on Shabbos, what's called Peres Shenosh Rumi Alem B'Shabbos. Fruits that fall off a tree by themselves on Shabbos are forbidden to eat on Shabbos. Therefore, not only are they forbidden to eat, they're also muktzah. And therefore, you can't even bring them into the house. Because once it's forbidden to eat, it's not something edible, on Shabbos at least, for the duration of Shabbos. And therefore, what happens if somebody doesn't know if a fruit fell off on Shabbos or not? So even though it's a rabbinic doubt, but still, you're not allowed to use it anyway. That's how far the Chachamim went. Okay, so you can't pick fruits or vegetables. Now, we learned in the melacha of growing things that if you take an avocado pit and put it into water, then it starts sprouting. So therefore, once it starts sprouting, if you take it out of the water, even though you're not harvesting anything from the ground, but that's also forbidden to do on Shabbos. Because once they take root, it's like their place where they grow, and taking it out of the jar or container or whatever it is would be forbidden. You're not allowed to take, this is not a very practical case, but you can't take sap out of a tree on Shabbos, like maple syrup or whatever it is. You can't take it out. Okay? Walking on tall grass on Shabbos, we learned that you could walk on it, some poskim, right? You shouldn't run out, because then it's inevitable that you're going to be ripping it out. You can't walk on flowers that are growing on Shabbos, because then for sure you're going to rip it off, because they're very soft. So for sure it's inevitable that you're going to rip it off.
But the ratio that are growing in water.
Again, you can't take it out of the water on Shabbos, because again, you're taking it away from the source where it grew. So it's like cutting it from the ground. Again, if there's a garment on the tree, you know, if it was, you still can't take it off on the tree during Shabbos. You know, to put things on the tree on Shabbos, climbing a ladder, okay, that we learned. Leaning against the tree, as long as if you put your weight on the tree, you're also not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Okay, next melacha is called the melacha of ma'amer. Ma'amer is in the next procedure, is gathering. Once the fruit was all over the field and they were cut, so what did you do next? You gathered them into one place. Then the next melacha after that would be, then they would do winnowing. In other words, there was actually a stage of process of growing things in the field. Okay, when you have, let's say, cut the harvest of wheat, which was the melacha we just learned. So then it would be all over the field. So then people would gather it together in one place. Okay, that is the melacha, what's called ma'amer, which is gathering things from the where they grow, from the place they grow, into one place. It's not a very practical melacha today. I mean, there's certain dinim that would be practical today. But it has to be things that grow from the ground, even if it's not food.
So it's called gathering.
Gathering. That's what ma'amer means, bundling, or gathering. It actually, to gather together in one place scattered grains, fruits, or vegetables. Okay? But that has to be only in the place where it grows. Like, for instance, if you want to take a fruit, let's say a fruit fell off the tree before Shabbos. So then you're allowed to eat it on Shabbos, right? So you want to bring it into the house. So even though you're taking into the house, that's not called gathering the fruit. Because normally fruits, when they would gather them, the malacha would be in the field. They would gather like the apple trees or whatever it is. They would gather it in the field. The only thing which would be like halachically forbidden, dried figs, you know, they put them into, they string the dried figs, right? It used to be, you know, they still have them, obviously. Or,
they still do it.
I said they still do it. So that would be because that would be done indoors, so then you wouldn't be allowed to do it, even bringing it inside. But normally, ma'amer is only when it's gathered in the place where it grows, meaning the field. Ma'amer only applies to things that come from the ground. For instance, leaves, branches, things like that, you can't gather on Shabbos, even if you do it with your foot, let's say. Because they're muksa, really. But that would be in a malacha because they still grow from the ground, even though they're not edible. So there's still a problem with that. Whether there's gathering after gathering is a machlekes, and again, it's not that practical, so let's not... Okay. Now, the whole malacha of gathering, basically, if it's done to protect the produce, when you gather the things in one place, they didn't want it spread out all over the field, then animals would get it or it wouldn't be protected. So the purpose of gathering the fruits, or the wheat or the grains, whatever, would be to protect the fruit. Therefore, if somebody is gathering not for the sake of protecting the fruit, but let's say for beauty, so then that wouldn't be forbidden because of ma'amer. Like, for instance, if somebody wants to... You have a bunch of loose flowers in the house. Okay, it's forbidden for a different reason. But let's say you have a bunch of loose flowers in the house. Okay, now flowers are growing from the ground. So if you're going to take it to gather it in one place to protect the flowers, you wouldn't be allowed to do that on Shabbos. That's the malacha ma'amer. But if you're doing it to make a bouquet of flowers, so you're not doing it to protect the flowers. You're doing it for beauty purposes, it would be allowed. But they write you can't make a bouquet of flower anyway because it's called makah b'patish. You're making an unfinished product finished by putting it together in the form of a bouquet. But just gathering flowers wouldn't be forbidden if you're doing it mamish for the sake of beauty, not to protect it.
What about the loss of money?
What does that have to do with it?
Let's say somebody has wheat, he's cut wheat, and the wheat is all over the place.
You can't desecrate Shabbos for loss of money. We know that already. And you're talking that would be biblical. For instance, Chaman came along and made, obviously, decrees, right? So, for instance, Chaman said things that are on the ground, even though they don't grow from the ground, the same thing would apply. Let's say iron, stones, salt from a mine, even though they don't grow from the ground, but because they're on the ground, so a person wouldn't be able to gather, let's say, stones. Let's forget the muksa aspect. But rabbinically, you wouldn't be able to gather stones to make it, it looks like, because it comes from the ground. Okay, produce became scared of a large area is not allowed. Okay, again, this is not so relevant, so let's not... okay, now, what happens if that produce gathers over a large indoor area. Whatever, it's spread out all over the place. You cannot regather it, so to speak. But if it's a small place, that, you know, the fruit, let's say you have a basket and the fruits fall out and it's right in that area, then you're allowed to gather it on Shabbos. For instance, but other things that don't grow from the ground at all, for instance, toys. Let's say... You have a big house and you have the kids scattered the toys all over the place. Okay? And now you want to gather the toys together. You're really doing it to protect the toys because you don't want them to get broken or whatever it is. So, therefore, you would, most poskim say, you would be allowed to gather the toys. Because, again, it's not something that doesn't grow from the ground. One second, even they say wood toys is another interesting din with Muhammad. whether it's wood toys, because the wood is changed from the way it grew, it's painted, it's cut, it's whatever, so then it also doesn't apply.
What if you need the place?
Doesn't matter. There's two aspects. There's muksa and there's ma'amed. Muksa is if you need the place. If it's real muksa, you couldn't do it either. Like, for instance, stones are real muksa. Okay? So you can't move it even if you need the place.
Unless
nothing. Unless you designate them before Shabbos in a permanent use. Like, for instance, when they throw stones in Shabbos in Meir Sha'arim, huh?
I just wanted to ask that.
So when they throw stones at the cars in Meir Sha'arim and Shabbos, I don't know where they got the heter from, because even though they designate the stones before Shabbos, you know, they have the stockpile before Shabbos, but the halacha is things that are real muksa, you have to designate them on a permanent basis. And that is for, I'll give you an example. You have a rock is muktzah, right? Because it's like a stone. It's a rock. It's not. It's completely muktzah. But what happens if somebody wants to use a rock to keep a door open? You know, it's a door stopper. And you take the rock before Shabbos and you designate it that from now on, this is what I want to use as a door stopper. So then it becomes unmuktzah. It becomes unmuktzah. You have many times women have, let's say, you know, the gold coins, which are, you know, gold coins. They make a necklace out of a real gold coin, right? The dollar coin, whatever it is. Jewelry. But that's also coins. It's really, technically, it's currency. Why isn't it mukta? Because you did an action to make it unmukta. You made it into a necklace. I heard an interesting story with the Friedrich Rebbe. It's a whole din shchno about a kameya, an amulet. If it's mukta, it's not mukta. If you're allowed to carry it in shop, not. But the story is, a guy was going to one of the wars. I think it was the Korean War. And the Friedrich Rebbe gave him a dollar for protection that he should keep on him for protection. So he asked the shaila by one of the Lubavitcher Rabbanim. And this is going back in the previous time. This is probably Tavshin, Tavshin Aleph, Tavshin Beis, during the war, whatever. 41, 42. So he asked the shaila by Lubavitcher Rav if he can carry it on Shabbos. Because it's a din that's called a kameh, that's a mumcha kameh, you might be able to carry it on Shabbos. Anyway, so the Rav said to him, you're not allowed to. You can't use it on Shabbos. So later on, the way I heard the story, the Friedrich Rebbe called in the Rav, and he said to him, it's about time that a guy with a long white beard should know that for my dollars you don't have Chilul Shabbos. For my dollars there's no desecration of Shabbos.
And that dollar saved his life, right?
I don't know if it was a dollar bill or a dollar coin. I don't know if that's the story with that. I don't know if it's the same story. There is such a story. I don't know if it's the same story. Huh? I don't know. You probably wore it like a necklace of some sort. Well, the Rav told him he shouldn't do it. But anyway, the Friedrich Rebbe called him in and said that it's about time a guy with a long white beard should know that my thing's okay. Next melacha we just started is the melacha that's called Zera. The next process in the... It's all, again, what Gemara calls is Sidur de Pas. This is all processes to get to the bread, okay? That's a baking. So there's a process. You plow, you harvest, then you gather, then you winnow. Winnowing is when you cut the wheat, everything today is done by machine, but when you cut the wheat, so the chaff and the kernels are all mixed together. So after you thresh them, threshing, which the animals used to do, so the chaff is very hard. So they put them out in the field and they would have animals walking all over it, which would loosen it up, okay? Then, how do you separate the kernels from the chaff? So they would throw it up in the air, and the heavier kernels would fall down, and the lighter things would blow away. So that's the next process, the way it used to work in the olden days. Then again, everything's done by machine. So the Av Melocha is called winnowing in English. In the Hebrew, it's called Zera. Winnowing is basically making the wind separate things one from another. So in other words, you wouldn't be able to throw something up in the air that it should separate it. But that's the mamish, the melacha of now. It has to be things that grow from the ground. That's again the melacha ma'amet. Well, sometimes that's biblical. Rabbinically, you have to do it also. It has to be in the wind. Okay, now, for instance, Chamim said, you can't take a mixture of something in your hand and throw it up and down to separate one thing from the next. That you wouldn't be allowed to do. Because again, it's rabbinic from the... No, but this is not a din of separation. You're separating the good, but you're letting the wind separate, throwing it up into the wind, and the wind separates it. For instance, you can't throw breadcrumbs from a height. Let's say you go on the second floor, and you want to throw down breadcrumbs for the bird. So it says in Halacha, you can't do that. Besides the fact, you're not allowed to feed animals on Shabbos. That don't belong to you. But by throwing it down, the wind... But for instance, an aerosol spray can, I mean, you know, like aerosol, whatever it was, perfume, deodorant, room deodorized, whatever, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos because the wind is not causing it to spread apart. It's actually causing it to spread apart. It's the can, not the wind. The wind is not doing anything. Okay.